For those that are listening to us on our Podbean app, it sure is a blessing that you are tuning in with us through the MP3 format. Feel free to visit our website anytime, www.sfbcoca.org. It'll redirect you to where we physically meet at and some video teaching as well. And we sure like to see you come in so we can fellowship with you, share the gospel of Christ with you, and hopefully disciple, help you out the best we can. So you guys already know our current schedule, amen, today's Sunday service, Wednesday, midweek Bible study happening back here, 7 to 8. And then we'll talk about the soul winning outreach this coming Thursday. And then, of course, Friday night discipleship happening at 7 o'clock, amen. First and foremost, I just want to let you guys know that last Friday was a blessing. It was so good to see so many people here tonight, and I just want to thank God for Sister Eileen. What a faithful sister, amen. She invited some people, and they came. Praise God. And so we all have a part, amen. And again, it's just as simple as doing that. Come to church. Come with me and come learn about Jesus. It was a blessing to see her brother and met her other brother for the first time, amen, and got to witness to them, and they heard the gospel. So let's just keep those souls in prayer, and hopefully they'll feel like they're always welcome here to learn more about the Lord. Amen. Water the seed, and we're going to trust God to cause the increase. Amen. So with that said, that's what's going on here today. As far as our calendar for the month of June, we want to keep our friends in prayer because we're sponsoring some of our members to go to Christian camp on the 20th or 22nd. Praise the Lord. So on the 19th of June, if you'd like to join my wife and I, we're going to go down there to fellowship with the brethren in Chula Vista to just say, hey, how's it going? And just have a good time partaking. And we're going to sow a little blessing there and also just to see how, you know, they're going to get ramped up before they get going. So God is good. Amen. We're looking forward to that. Okay. Ministry opportunities. Soul winning Saturdays. Again, y'all already know. I just want to always show you these photos to encourage your spirit. My wife. Again, faithful out there serving the Lord with me, holding it down with our scripture sign, as you guys can see here. It is a blessing. What we do, just to remind some of you who haven't been with us in a while, we first go door knocking. We meet here at the church around 11. We pray, we read some Bible, and then we go door knock, and we're finishing up the Buddy Todd area, this neighborhood, if you will. We just finished the last street where the ladies left off, and now next Saturday, our goal is to start the houses right in front of Buddy Todd. And so once we knock out all those neighborhood, those houses, pick up on Loma Alta or somewhere over there, and then if you guys remember Mission, how it goes down in the hill, there's Mosin gas station, then we're going to hit up all those neighbors next. Once we're done with those neighbors, we're going to go back to the barrio, Center Street, hit up all those neighbors. As again, you guys know, our heart is to reach people for Jesus Christ, so please join us. So after we're done door knocking, then we go to the public outreach right there in the pier. We hold up our scripture signs, as you guys can see my wife witnessing. And we're just out there, again, trying to tell people about Jesus Christ. We use these signs because people are driving cars, amen? And these scripture signs, they sure do witness to people. They plant the seed, and it brings in conviction and encouragement. So yesterday was awesome, and please keep those souls in prayer that we had a chance to witness to, and that sure was a blessing. So next Saturday, this coming Thursday is our every other Thursday outreach at the Sunset Market. So we meet here, and we go out from 6 to 7. So please, if you can, you don't have nothing going on Thursday night, join us. Just come out and pray with us. If you're a little too shy, you don't have to street preach. That's fine. You can just pass out a flyer or just be there in prayer. Amen. So 6 to 7, please join us for the Thursday Sunset Market Outreach. And then Lord willing, sometime in June or August, we'll plan our mission trip back to Ensenada. We will keep you posted for that. Prayer is our most important announcement here at church. You guys already know. If you guys have any prayer requests, you can put those online or just raise your hand. Put it in the offering box, and we would love to pray with you and pray for you. Amen. Live streaming, so you already know. We have the podcast Bean. If you haven't already downloaded it, just go ahead and download it. Podbean, it's free. You can listen to us as in an MP3 format. Facebook church page, if you have it, subscribe, like, share with your friends. And then YouTube, again, subscribe, like, and share as well. And then last but not least, church, if you remember this church, hope you are, please remain faithful. And you're giving us unto the Lord, whatever you purpose in your heart, remember, it's all about the heart. Give of your finances with a good and joyful heart. God will take care of you. Amen. So we have the little box back there. You can do so online as well. Other than that, church, we don't have any other announcements. Anybody have anything they'd like to share with anybody here today before we continue? Sister Gina? Oh, you know what? I don't have the water baptism video pulled up yet, but let me just quickly see if I can go back track and find it, because I forgot Sister Dina was unable to join us, remember that, for the baptism. So let me go ahead and see if I can join us, or I'm sorry, search it here. And then we'll just kind of show you a little quick video clip. Amen, Sister Dina. So let me see if I can just find the baptism and just kind of scrolling back through all of our posts. Oh, here it is. Praise the Lord. Sister Eileen, she gets a little shy, amen, but that's okay. Here you go, Sister Eileen. There you go. So we just open up, amen, with a little bit of a salutation, if you will, for the brethren of what we were, you know, going through and talking about, and preparing the heart by sharing, if you will, with her family and her immediate friends of the upcoming baptism, right? So that's what we were doing right there. And we were just letting everybody know, hey, she's a believer. She's trusted Christ. She's following the Lord in water believer's baptism. There's Brother Giovanni holding it down with me, keeping it straight with this. Look at that solid face right there, Brother Giovanni right there. Sister Eileen, she's getting ready. And let me just fast forward. And then, of course, we get out there. And it was a pretty nice day, right, guys? Not too cold. And so we instructed her. We shared with her. She testified before the church her faith in Jesus Christ. She testified of her faith alone and Christ alone. And then she understood that water baptism has nothing to do with her salvation. It has nothing to do with her being a member of a church or nothing. It just has to do with her being obedient, identifying herself with the death, burial, and resurrection. And so here we have it. We're just affirming again right there privately with her before we dunk her up in that water. And then a little windy, amen. And then she gets dunked. Praise God. That's a blessing. Let's see here. Almost there, brother. Oh, there she goes. So now she understood. Ready to do it. Okay, plug the nose. Who do I hold on to? It's all right, girl. Just hold on. We ain't going to leave you. Dunk her in there. Boom. There you go. Praise God. Amen. There you go. God is good. So again, guys, water baptism. Dead to the old man. Because our old man is crucified to Christ, raised to newness of life. Amen. So God is good. That was the video. Amen. All right, church. Before we continue, again, I already told you, I made a special announcement. For the month of May, we had a little mini in-house church campaign of a fundraiser to bless our brother, Raphael, because we care about him. We know he has a certain unique situation with his family from a distance, and we know it's going to take years and time for him to get all the politics situated to attempt to reconcile and bring them over here to where he's at. So as a church family, we just wanted to present him today with the funds that some of our members came up with. We're not here to boast about any of our giving. God knows our hearts. He knows who gave and who didn't. That's fine. But for those that did, we just want to say, Brother Raphael, if you can come up here, we want to present this for you and let you know we love you, brother. And this is just a way to say, you know, to start the campaign and to start the savings for you and your family. And we love you. Amen. So here you go, brother. God bless you. Or if you want to share some words with the church, feel free here. Just go ahead and get the mic, and there you go. Amen.
Church, I said from the day one, I wasn't expecting this, but I really appreciate it very much. This is certainly going to help the purpose of little by little trying to get what I need to bring my family here, God willing. And I would really love that to make me complete here. So I appreciate this, and God bless.
Amen. Praise God. We love you, brother. Amen. See, it's just free will. Amen. And all of our hearts can be stirred. We pay our bills, and we give our normal giving as unto the Lord, and we can give a little bit more because we just want to say, Lord, we love you. We trust you. We want to be a blessing, guys. Let me just tell you real quick before we continue. You know, we don't harp a lot about money here, but you want to be rich toward God. Your labor for the Lord and everything you invest into that benefits the body of Christ, that's what's going to bless you for eternity. So just remember, balance it out. Balance it out. Nothing wrong with enjoying the earth, the creation, your family, but you really need to ask yourself, how much richness do I have towards the things that are going to benefit me for the eternal life to come? Stuff like this, man, that's a blessing to the Lord. Amen. So praise God. I'm glad to be his friend. Amen. So we're here for him as a family. We do the same for anybody here else. Amen. So with that said, let's go ahead and get on our Bible train. Church, today is part number 6, I believe, how the video is listed. I'm not sure. But how many of you guys have known that we've been taking a break from a verse-by-verse study through a book of the Bible so we can kind of go back to some basics, because I'm approaching this from the standpoint of, okay, I just got saved. What's next, Pastor? What do I need to do? What are some immediate things that I should start beginning to align myself with? And the first thing we talked about was Christian dress. Remember that? The basic idea from that is, hey, you're a female, you're a male, dress as one that represents your femininity, if you will. Dress as one that represents your masculinity. And don't be dressing in a manner that is going to cause a Christian to stumble. And we just simply covered that for the women and men. Women, don't advertise if you're not here for business, amen, and cover up your body for the glory of your husband. And if you're single, hey, just make sure you're dressing modestly to please the Lord. And then men, same thing too. We're not going to come over here with tank tops, flexing it up, amen, trying to cause women to look at our bodies. The whole point is to not dress in a manner that will cause attention to yourself, but it'll be giving glory to God, amen. Second thing we talked about was Christian speech. We talked about how we should communicate with our speech and how it should be beneficial, how it should always be seasoned with grace and salt. We need to have an ability to discern how we talk to people, where they're at, knowing that I need to be careful with how I come off because I need to make sure that they're going to be able to receive it. Third, we talked about Christian attitude. Remember that? And we talked about how we need to guard our heart, keep our heart and our mind in the right place because we don't want to be overcome with anger or selfishness or pride. We want to keep our attitudes in check. We talked about that last Sunday, that we need to have a heart of kindness, a heart of humility. We talked about that being merciful towards people. Today, we're going to start a new topic, Christian friendship. Christian friendship. And the whole idea today is to be careful with who you associate yourself with. Be careful with who you socialize with. The Bible is going to give you some commands. It's going to give you some guidelines. It's going to give you some principles. But ultimately, the people that you surround yourself with, the people that you allow your heart to be poured out into, and the people that you allow their heart to be poured in, back into you, it's going to have an effect. And so you can be a strong believer, and you hang out with darkness long enough, before you know it, man, that darkness is going to rub off, amen. You can be a weak believer, and you can be hanging out with the world all day long, and before you know it, you're back out there because you associated yourself with the wrong people. Today, I'm going to show you from the Bible that it's ultimately good from the individual's heart to be friendly with as much people as you can, because ultimately that is our intention and our purpose is to be a light to the world. We're here to be an extension of the grace and love of God to lost sinners. Now, we know that not all lost sinners are going to respond to us kindly. We know that not all lost sinners are going to just jolly up and be like, well, I just want to be your friend. And while I continue to know, there's going to be a balance between how much I'm trying to reach them and how I need to avoid certain things they do so that way it doesn't affect me. But ultimately, and I'm going to hope that you learn today, it's just us keeping our heart right before the Lord by us making the initial step to be as friendly and as kind as we can to those around us. But we're not expected to just hang out with everybody on the planet who's doing some wicked thing under the sun, because as we'll see today, there's going to be a balance where we separate ourselves for the sake of keeping our sanctity and also our walk with the Lord upright. Amen. So let's go ahead and turn our Bibles now to the book of Proverbs, chapter 17. This is going to be the theme verse, if you will, of what we're going to discuss today. Proverbs chapter 17, specifically verse number 17. This is going to be our theme. And as we study along, and as we continue to go along today, it is my hope and prayer that you'll see from this particular verse here, church, this is going to be the motivation behind how we interpret and try our best to connect everything else with this one verse and see where this one verse can be supported, and see how this one verse can also be guided in other applications just depending upon the context. For example, we're going to see how some friends we actually need to avoid because they're not good for you. But you need to still be kind, but you need to avoid them. We'll talk about all that today, amen? So let's read together here, Proverbs 17, verse 17. This is going to be our theme verse. The Word of God says here, a friend loveth at some times when they feel like it. Is that what it says? Let me reread that one more time. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you. I come before your throne of grace once again, believing Jesus Christ to be the head of this church, not a man, not a personality here, not a tradition, God, but the Word of God. I pray that your Holy Ghost would please fill me today with the ability to communicate the Word clearly to the hearers today, Lord. Lord, no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, we pray and ask, God, that you would be glorified through our understanding of what we're going to learn today, Lord. And wherever we might come short of today's message, or wherever we might find ourselves doing what we're going to learn today, Lord, would you nevertheless strengthen us and convict us in any area that you see fit to be more godly in our friendships with people. So, Lord, I surrender the rest of this time to you, Lord. Please remove me out of your way. Forgive me of any sin or sins which I've committed against you, Lord. Cover me under the blood of Jesus once again, Lord. I'm going to be a vessel that will be pleased to use to bring edification to your people. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. the spirit that we need to have as we continue to live on this planet, as we're surrounded by both believer and unbeliever, is a desire to be kind at all times. The number one heart that I should have with people around me is, how can I try my best to be a benefit and a blessing without seeking anything in return every time, all seasons of my life? However, because reality is reality, we know that not all people are going to be kind in return. We know that not all people are going to be nice in return. And we know that not all people are going to be Christians. The murderer will still continue to murder. The homosexual will still continue to be in their homosexual lifestyle. The fornicator, the drunkard, the alcoholic, all those particular type of sinners and the sins that they commit, they're going to do, and they're going to continue to do it. But the point is, your heart before God and your attempt to establish some kind of relationship, you need to have the best and the kindest heart that you can, as much as you can all the time. But we're going to see how there's going to be a balance concerning that, okay? When we talk about Christian friendship, I'm talking about how a Christian should be a friend towards anybody. That's my point. The word friend and the various forms of that in our King James Bible is mentioned 107 times and 99 verses within our King James Bible. The first mention of it is back there in Genesis 26, talking about a fellow by the name of Abimelech, who was king of Gerar. Let's go ahead and make our way there. And it's always good to study the first mention of a word in our Bible to kind of see how God talks about it, how God incorporates it. And there's going to be some details that we'll observe from the characters in this particular verse, and where there's always going to be a lesson to be learned from every time a word is mentioned for the first time. Let's go to Genesis 26. This is going to be the very first mention of the word friend in your Bible. And I'm going to build up a little bit of context so that way you guys can see a little lesson that I've gained from studying this particular before we continue. Here we have a fellow by the name of King Abimelech. The Bible tells us earlier in Genesis 20 that he was the king of Gerar. And he had a friend by the name of Phicol, or Phicol, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but we're going to see here, as we read here, Genesis 26, 26, then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. What's unique about this particular verse, church, is if we go down a little bit earlier in Genesis chapter 26, let's go down here to verses number 6. There's a guy by the name of Isaac. How many of you guys remember his daddy? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, remember that? Well, King Abimelech had already met his father, Abraham, a long time ago. And Abraham, when he had first gone into this part of the land, remember the story? He was afraid. He didn't know if the people were going to be kind or friendly or not. So he told his wife, Sarai, hey, tell them that you're my sister. So that way they don't take me out because they want my wife. People knew that people had some hardcore hearts. They'd take a fool out. They didn't care if you were the husband, they'd take you out, right? But if he thought, if I lied and said, perhaps she's my sister, they would spare his life. And we know that Abraham lied, and this guy, Abimelech, ended up checking him only after the fact that God confronted him in the vision. You can read all about that in Genesis 20. Great lesson to learn there. But Isaac, his son, continued, right? Abraham had passed on already. And Abimelech apparently was still alive and obviously well enough to have continued that conversation. Look at verse 5. He said, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, my laws. That's God telling Isaac. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And so the same way that his daddy Abraham, you know, wanted to say, hey, just say that you're my sister. He did the same ploy. It's so funny. And Abimelech, the same thing. He ended up checking him. I'm just telling you guys a story. Because he saw Isaac, you know, having fun with this girl out there in the field. And he ended up finding out, hey, man, that's your wife. And so we know that they end up, you know, he ends up talking to him about it. But nevertheless, in verse number 18, he reminds him of the dealings he had with his father. And he reminds him of all the agreements they had and all the peace that they had. And eventually, they end up having an agreement with each other when you continue to read here in verse number 28. They said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, talking about Isaac. This is what the king is telling him. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us and betwixt us and thee. Let us make a covenant with thee. Thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, as we have done unto thee nothing but good. And I've sent thee away in peace. Thou art now blessed of the Lord. And so Isaac, they all had a good time. They had a good fellowship. But what is my point? Go back here to verse number 26. This king, he had friends. He had already dealt with Abraham many, many years ago. And here we have a friend who is serving with him in his political position because Phicol, or however you pronounce his name, the Bible says that he was the chief captain of his host down there later on, verses 26 through 31 and 32. And so I just want to point out to you, friends, that the first mention we see of a friend here is a friend who was accompanying another man throughout many times and seasons of life. This man ended up gaining the trust and honor of the king for the king to have appointed him this political position over the host of his particular, you know, army or his military strength because he was a friend. That's a lesson that we can learn today. The second mention we learned about is Judah and his friend comforting him at the passing of his wife, Shua. Look at Genesis chapter number 38 now. Again, we're on that Bible train. And you know, church, I try to make it easy for you. We go from left to right. So now let's keep on going left to right. Genesis 38. And look here at verse number 2. You guys know the story, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had some boys, and one of them boys was Judah, right? And here we have it, that he ended up getting married. Well, his wife's name was Shua, as you guys can see her in verse number 2. Well, she died, unfortunately, later on in life. In verse number 12, the Bible says, in a process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up unto his sheep shearers to Timnath, he and his friend, Hira, the Adullamite. What do we see there, friend? Quick lesson. The rest of this chapter is pretty gnarly. If you want to read it on your own time, Judah ends up doing some crazy messed up stuff. But my point, he had a friend that comforted him while his wife died. We're going to learn today, friends, that a friend is a friend because they're there for you at a time when you're low, you're distressed. A friend comforts you because at that time, they're not seeking their self-interest. They're seeking yours. They're seeking your comfort. They're seeking your emotional health, if you will. That's the kind of friend that we want to have. You don't want to have a friend that's not there for you through thick and thin, even though they may say they're your friend. You want to have a friend that's there for you when your loved ones pass away. You want a friend that's there for you when nobody's there for you, when your family gives up on you. Somebody that is a genuine friend is going to be there for you through thick and thin. What is our theme verse? A friend loveth what? At all times. Don't forget that. Next, let's go to Exodus chapter number 33. Exodus 33. Now, this may be an old school cultural reference that God makes here, but nevertheless, it's pretty good. I like it. We're going to include it. Exodus 33, verse number 11. How do we usually communicate to each other as humans? Anybody? Talk and then physically like this? Do I not look at you or do I look at you, brother? I generally look at you, right? Watch this. Look at verse 11. The Lord spake unto Moses. What does it say, church? Face to face. Watch this. As a man speaketh unto his friend. Isn't that cool? Friends talk to each other face to face. Now, again, I'm not trying to say this could be a particular cultural reference. Perhaps generally everybody in these days normally, and I know some of us may say, well, isn't that kind of common sense? Don't friends talk to each other? Well, yeah, when they're friends. What about the friends that talk about you behind your back? We'll talk about them later. That's not friendly. A friend, face-to-face. How you doing, friend? It's good to see you. Let me try my best to establish that communication. I just want to include that in there, okay? What about good friends versus evil friends? A good friend is going to entice you, encourage you, provoke you to serve God. An evil friend is going to entice you, discourage you, and hinder you from serving God by trying to influence you to go back to the world, go back into sin, sinful living, sinful habits. Those are some people that you need to avoid. I'm going to show you two references. The first one is going to be here in Deuteronomy 13, so let's go there now. Deuteronomy chapter 13, and then I'm going to give you a New Testament reference found in 1 Corinthians 15. So with your one hand, turn your Bible to Deuteronomy 13, and then with your second hand, go to 1 Corinthians 15. Here's a great, great law that God gave the Hebrew people that we can definitely gain some profit in our learning. Amen. The Bible says here in Deuteronomy 13, verse number 6, here's what the Lord God is instructing the children of Israel, the second generation. Remember that Moses is repeating the law from Exodus from the second generation. He says here in verse number 6, and this is also a good lesson to apply within family, because some of you have family members that don't believe in your God. And you care for them, and you honor them, and you love them, and I have the same thing too. But if they want you to do something that goes against God, you better avoid them straight up. God is going to be pleased with that. Don't worry about their feelings. Look here, verse number 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thy own soul. Notice, some of you guys may just have had best friends growing up. I mean, y'all were like this. They knew you, you knew them, y'all did everything together. Girls generally, you know, are more close and intimate, you know, hanging out with each other, doing each other's nails. I know that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Us dudes, I mean, maybe, I don't know. But you know what I'm talking about. You know who you grew up with back in the day. I can name you my best friends right now. But if they entice thee secretly, here's what the Lord told these Hebrews, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, now nor thy fathers, namely, of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thy eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. Now, the next verse, you better be glad you're not a Jew living in the law, living under the law in the land of promise, because God told him, you better take that fool out. Look at that. Kill that guy. Okay, look at verse number 9. Because of his sin, his desires to cause you to sin against God. But did you notice? God didn't discriminate. He didn't care if it was your daddy. He didn't care if it was your mother. He didn't care if it was your brother or your sister. For the Hebrews, living under the law in the promised land. You say, then brother, what are we getting this as an example from Christian application? Don't listen to that person. Look at verse number 8. Don't even pay attention to that person. Don't give in to their conversations when they want you to go back to the world. Now, I know some of you guys are not going to be enticed to start worshiping Buddha or the Hindu gods or whatever gods out there, the Aztec gods, the Mexicano gods, I don't care. I know you guys don't have friends like that, but here's what some of your friends may want you to do. Hey, why don't we just go back and let's go to this club again? Hey, let's go drink again. Hey, why don't we just go hang out with our friends over here for a little bit, you know, while we're all partying it together. And you understand, I'm just giving you application that'd be more relevant to your situation. Ultimately, God doesn't care if they're your family member or if they're your friend. He does not want you to allow somebody to entice you to sin against him. That's the point. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, you're there, right? Look at verse number 33. This is a New Testament principle that we can see lines up with Old Testament law as well. Look at here. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 33. The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt what church? Good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So, again, it doesn't matter if it's your friend or your family member. If they have a heart bent towards evil to get you from serving God, get you from going to church, get you from reading your Bible, get you from soul winning, let's just hang out over here. Let's just go out. Let's just go to the restaurant. I'm talking about they're trying their best to distract you and get your attention away from God, church. Don't be deceived. Eventually, it will corrupt your good manner. I'm not trying to say you're going to stop believing in God. But what I'm saying is your priorities will start getting misaligned. Your time and how you're managing it will start getting disaligned. You need to keep yourself focused, and you need to surround yourself with friends that are going to encourage you to serve God. Next point. You know that having friendly speech with others will assist your social interactions with others? In other words, being kind in my request to people, I most likely, generally, not 100% of the time, but 99% of the time, I will most likely get that which I'm asking of the other person because I am coming off with a friendly attitude. Look with me now, church, at our next Bible stop, Judges 19. Judges chapter 19. And let's go ahead and read here together now, church. Judges 19 and verse number 3. Again, another crazy part of the Bible. All right. You guys can read this on your own time. Here's some gnarly stuff that was going on in this guy's life, and he ended up getting a lady, a whore, as the Bible says in verse 2, but she ran away from this guy, right? Well, she went to go to the father's house. But look at here in verse 3. Her husband arose and went after her to speak what? Friendly unto her. And to bring her again, having his servant with him and a couple of asses, he brought a couple of donkeys, and she brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. again, just a quick lesson. Friendly speech generally helps you to get what you want. If you're kind to the person at the store, hey, you never know. They may give you a free bag without charging 10 cents. Amen. You know, my wife and I, that guy at Walmart, he's pretty nice. Because why? We're being kind to the guy. We're being friendly. So another good point of advice from the Bible, be friendly in your speech with people. You never know how they may assist you. They help you. They'll be a blessing. You'll possibly get assistance with getting that car deal or that job because you're coming off with a kind spirit. Another example of this is Ruth chapter number 2, just the next book to the right. Ruth chapter 2, verse number 13. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid. Though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens," this is Ruth and Boaz. Boaz was a friendly guy. Why? Because he spoke kindly. He spoke with comforting words. So if you want to be a good Christian friend to people, you need to have a good, kind, comforting speech and attitude and countenance when you're interacting with people. Amen. Does God have friends? Yes, he does. He has a lot of friends. Let's go ahead and turn out of 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. One of these friends that God specifically identifies by name is none other than Abraham. And as King Jehoshaphat is praying, he is reminding God in this prayer, because he is about to interact with a lot of Gentile foreign armies that are going to try to come against him. He's just talking to God. Hey, God, remember this. Remember that. Oh, and by the way, don't forget, because of, you know, Abraham, your friend. Look at here in verse number 7. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? Does God have friends? Yes, he does. One of those friends was a man by the name of Abraham. Another scripture reference that you can read about on Abraham being a friend, you don't have to turn there. You can just write this down or kind of remember in the back of your mind. Isaiah 41, verse 8. Bible says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." So then in the back of your mind for Bible study, if Abraham was God's friend, what did Abraham do, or how did Abraham respond to God? Because I also want to be his friend. Study Abraham's life, study his relationship, and that's what's also going to benefit your knowledge, how you too can be a friend of God. How about that? That was free. Well, the next example is a fellow by the name of Job. And you can turn there safely, right? Job. Some of you guys remember his story about how he had suffered a lot of things because before God, a lot of these people that were living in Job's time, Job, he was an upright man. He was a perfect man before the Lord, which meant he had a solid heart before the Lord. He honored God. He honored his laws that he placed within his heart. He responded to the light that was given him, and Satan noticed that. And Satan accused before God that the reason why he is prospering is because of all of the physical blessing, if you will, that God had over Job's life. And remember how Satan told the Lord, "Hey, Lord, why don't you remove your hand off him and watch, he will curse you." And God, knowing the heart of Job, he knew he wouldn't. And we know that eventually he would be blessed of the Lord as he endured all the suffering and seasonal trials and temptations he went through. But how many of you guys know that when you're going through a thick season, you will see who is there for you and who's not? I just want to use this lesson to remind ourselves about friends and what they do. Even though his friends were not perfect in their judgments, they were there for him nevertheless. Look at verse 11. Job's suffering. You know the story. He has leprosy and all these gnarly sores and everything else going on. Bible says in verse 11, chapter 2 of Job, "Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came everyone from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, Zophar, the Naamathite, for they had an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to what? Comfort him." Even though God checked them towards the end, what is the point of encouragement? Man, they were there for him, y'all. They didn't leave him hanging. He wasn't by himself. He fellowshiped with them and he loved on them while he was going through this difficult time. Church, you want to be a Christian friend? You want to be somebody that is proven before others, what are you going to do? Your friend is going through a difficult time, and church, let me remind you, they don't even have to be saved. But what's going to make you stand out before them that tells them who a good friend is you're there to comfort them and mourn when difficult times are going on in their life. You guys get that lesson? That's what makes people, again, draw more closer to you in relationship and loyalty, because they were there for you through a time and nobody else was there. How about that? That's a good lesson to learn from Job's friends. Friends should be a comfort, according to Job. Let's go to Job chapter 6, same book, left to right. Look at verse 14. To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend, but he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. Friend, when somebody is going through difficulties and seasons in life, your job should not be there to try to start condemning them or judging them because of everything going wrong in their life. Rather, your job should be there to comfort them and to aid them and to mourn with them, because that's what's going on and that's what they need at that time. I know sometimes you might look at someone's situation, and you can justly say, man, they are going through that because they deserve it. But you're judging that because of the pride in your heart. Come on. Rather than saying, okay, I know they're going through a difficult time, I know that they totally deserve what is coming to them, why don't you overstep your pride for a second, and perhaps your kind approach to them, it could possibly change their life. It could possibly be a positive aid to them, because they're not getting that from nobody else. But you, because you know the Lord Jesus, you have kindness in your heart, humility and mercy. Maybe you can be that example they need while they're going through it. That's my point. You need to work on your Christian friendship, not just with fellow believers, but even with unbelievers. We need to be there for people when they're going through it to comfort them. Amen. Not to be there to just bring the hammer. We need to always be honorable in dealings with our Christian friends. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. We need to always be honorable in our dealings with our friends. If a brother said, hey, I'll make sure I'll pay this because you're offering this to me, make sure you pay them the thing you said you would. Hey, I'll take care of that, brother. You gave a friend a word. You said you're going to do it. You better stick to it. Do not lie in your commitments to friends, because that's going to hinder your testimony. Look at what the Bible says here in Proverbs 6. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Why? Because you said you were going to do something. So now you are going to be held accountable to what it is you said you would do. You with me? You know that. You've experienced that before. Do this now, he says, my son, in verse 3. Deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go, humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. And he just goes on and talks about work, you know, everything else. What's the point? If you have friends and you say that you're going to do something for them, do it. Meet the need. You say, I'm going to show up on time, show up early. If you say, I'll help you to do this, friend, do it. Don't say you're going to do something, because then you're going to be held accountable and you don't want to be found a liar. See that? Don't be ensnared with your mouth. You want to maintain a upright friendship with people. I want to thank God for those of you guys that are just coming in. Today we're talking about an entirely new topic on our basic Christian doctrines. We're talking about Christian friendship and how we're learning from the Bible how to be a godly friend, not only to fellow Christians, but to those around us in general, the world. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and turn our Bibles now to the book of Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter number 16. How many of you guys want to keep peace in your friendships with people? Anybody? How many of you guys want to make sure that a friendship you have with somebody at least has joy and peace at their unity, nothing crazy, backbiting, and everything like that? Well, again, because we're studying the Bible, we're going to continue to learn from God how we can do that and how it is possible. Proverbs chapter 16, let's read together now, church, in verse number 13. Okay, here it is. Proverbs 16, verse number 13. The Bible says, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. Do you know that people honor an honest man or an honest woman? There is more respect and integrity for people that speak truth than people that speak lies. Some of you have had friends before, back in the day, let's say middle school, high school, And yes, because you were young and youthful and immature as I was at times, right? We would say a thing with our friend and then we'd totally not do it. We were liars. But you did have friends that were a little bit more honest with you. They were there for you. They'd stick to their word. And that's the people that you're going to delight in. If you want to maintain peace with friends, you want to maintain a peaceful friendship with people, be honest. Speak right. Speak truth. And that's what people are going to respect more about you than you just lying to them and flattering with your lips. Let's go to verse number 20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Let's say there's a situation that happens between you and a friend. Well, you have two choices. One, you're either going to approach the thing that just happened in a wise manner or not. But if you seek to reconcile an issue that happened between you and a friend wisely, you're ultimately going to find good to come out of that particular thing at the end of the day. Look at verse number 24. Pleasant words. Whoa. So notice last Sundays ago messages, Christian speech. Notice how it's associated with today's about being a friendship or our friends. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Keep this in mind. Go to verse 28. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisper separateth chief friends. You want to have peaceful friendships? You need to make sure that your words are pleasant. You need to make sure that your words are right, they're truth, they're honest. But again, it does go back to our previous study. You need to make sure that your speech is gracious. You don't want to have an attitude in your speech. You don't want to have a pride spirit about you in your speech. And not only that, church, you need to be careful with your body countenance. Some people really look to that. You may have like a peaceful tone in your voice, but if your body countenance has like a, you know, your eyebrows all like, people also read that, right? We're just humans. It's natural. So what's going to help keep a peaceful relationship with others? Pleasant words. And that's what's going to help you also to identify who are good friends in your life or not. Are they trying to gossip? Are they trying to sow strife to destroy your friendships with other people? Well, those are not good friends to have. You want to have friends around your life that are trying to encourage you to be a good friend to others. Don't forget that. What separates friendships? What destroys and hinders good friendships? Well, of course, lying does. Amen. Haughty attitudes, pride. Division, sowing strife, as we just said, gossips. Those are a lot of things that destroy it. But how does it come out in order to have the effect? My speech, my communication. Let's go to Proverbs 17, next chapter. Read with me now, church, in verse number 4. God says here, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Church, if you have friends that are liars, they enjoy other liars. They hang out with them all day. They listen to them on YouTube or their social media platforms. They listen to it on the worldly movies, etc., because that's where their heart's at. And when you hang out with them, notice that you know who they are. You know how they're going to come off to you. You do not need to surround yourself with those kind of friends. You need to avoid those kind of friends because their heart is not in the right place. And eventually, if you hang around with that too much, you're going to start lying again. You're going to start acting like that. Look at verse number 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Now, here's a balance. Here's a balance. Remember how we talked about charity? And you guys know about that. I've been teaching you guys that a lot now. Charity, what does it do? It doesn't seek its own. Yes, when your friend sins against you, you have an option to immediately forgive them, or you have an option to just condemn them, keep judging them, and hence not seeking reconciliation, unity of whatever matter you may have with another person. But you know what covers something? And you know what can assist by maintaining that unity? It's covering that transgression, because what it's being motivated by is love. It doesn't mean you forget it. It doesn't mean that you're obviously going to forget every evil thing that that person did to you. But what it means is you're not going to refer back to it, and you're not going to allow it to continue to be in your immediate friendship communication. So that way, for the sake of love and the motivation by love, you're going to keep that thing united. Because what's going to happen is if you continually bring up that thing, it's going to separate you over time. There's no trust. There is no integrity. You're just going to continue to harp on that thing. I just need to let you guys know that. But let's keep reading here in our study. Verse number 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. I'm going to tell you right now, church, if any of you guys are wise in the Lord and not in your flesh, when you are being corrected by the Bible, it is going to strengthen you because your heart is already on the Lord and it's already in a good place. But if you're a fool, you're going to avoid biblical correction and error, and it's not going to have no profit. So when we're talking about Christian friendships and how to maintain good friendships with those around us, one of those other aspects in verse number 9 is, how do we seek unity? How do I seek a peaceful relationship with my friends? I don't need to keep bringing up their past. I don't need to keep bringing up their faults. I don't need to keep blaming them for a thing they did against me 10 to 15 years ago. Let me rather, in love and charity, forgive, forbear, and move along because I love that person so much. I just wanted to know I'm still their friend, even though they may or may not have been like this with me in the past. You guys get it. Verse 17. As I stated earlier, church, remember, this is our theme verse. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. How many of you guys had friends that you literally said, man, this is my brother? Anybody growing up, y'all had some friends like that, close people that are like, man, this is like my sister. I mean, she knows me. He knows me. We were road dogs, right? As some of you guys, man, this is my homeboy. We're like this together. We fought each other, but man, we still made up and we were cool, you know? Us guys, you can get in a fight and then you're still hanging out. You know, I don't know how that happens, but nevertheless, those are good people. Why? Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to see a transition, if you will, from a general friendship relationship to that of a family. Because as they love you at all times, listen now, as they're there for you when your family member passes, as they're there for you when your girlfriend dips, boyfriend dips, children dip, family no longer talks to you because you did this and that, you know what's going to happen? It's going to create a stronger bond. A brother is going to come out because when that adversity happens, that friend that was there for you through all that time, they're going to be even closer to you. I'm going to tell you right now, you know, Brother Kwame, he was like this to me, man. He was a brother. He was more of a brother to me than the brother that I grew up with as in my adopted family. Brother Kwame is more of a brother to me than my biological brother in Mexico that we don't even talk, y'all. I don't really know the guy. He doesn't really know me. He just knows that I'm a pastor out here, and yet we fellowship for a little bit. He blessed me with a cheese. Remember that? A queso, you know, it's a little Mexicano culture out there. And I said, man, thank you, hermano. But man, Kwame is my brother. Why? Because he was my friend when I was going through difficult times in my life. He was my friend while, you know, certain situations going on with in my marriage or ministry with this individual and vice versa. While Brother Kwame was going through his ups and downs, personal things with the family or ministry things with family back in Detroit, Brother Carlos was there for him through thinking that, man, we're brothers. We're like this. You know what? If you want to develop that brotherhood, if you will, with a friend, love them at all times. Yes, they're going to mess up on you. They're not going to be perfect, but that's what a friend does. A friend covers a transgression. A friend says, man, I'm just going to keep caring about you, bro. There's just nothing you can do to break my heart for you because, man, I just love you. You're my friend. I just want to care for you. Ultimately, how many of you guys know that the Lord Jesus Christ is ultimately the friend that loveth at all times? Amen. How do we, church, or how should we maintain healthy friendships? Well, remember, it really does come back to our speech, as I stated earlier. Let's go to the next chapter, Proverbs 18. Read with me here in verse number 6 through 7. The Bible says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his discretion, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Again, you can hurt people with your words more than you can with a bat, more than you can with a knife, amen. It really does affect people by the way that you communicate. Go down with me to verse 17 through 18. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just. Stop right there. Whoever you are here today, that you keep going through a circumstance and a situation in life, and you keep judging what you think is right within your own eyes, you need to remind yourself that God already told you, friend, you need to just be careful. You're not right just because you're viewing it right from your vantage point. There are other vantage points to look at your circumstance, and that's why you need friends to come and help you look at it from that perspective. Amen. The lot causeth contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. Go down with me to verses 20 through 21. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the what? Tongue. So notice, guys, it goes back to our speech. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Go down now to verse number 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I hope you're following along now. You just saw, it comes back to the speech. If my tongue is not tamed by me, if I am not keeping a hold on the way that I communicate with somebody else, if I keep having attitude, anger, judgment, no wonder why there is going to begin a separation from you, because nobody wants to be your friend. However, if you're the one that's keeping a hold of your lips, you're the one that's guarding the mouth and how you're communicating with those around you that you call your friends, well, just know, eventually you may gain them as a brother. Because look at what it says here. If you have friends, you must show yourself friendly. You have to try your best, Christian, to work on your pride and to overlook the faults of your friend, because they're your friend. And the way that God wants us to have a godly friendship with people around us is by seeking their benefit and not our own. Again, like I said, I know it's difficult for some of y'all. Y'all have gone through a lot of things, I know. But it doesn't negate the fact that God has given us commandments that if we apply them in those circumstances and situations, good may come out of it. You may say, well, they're not changing. That's fine, but you are changing. You're being more godly in your approach, and ultimately it's the Lord working on you, and he could be using that to do it. Have you ever thought about that? Next question, or next statement, I should say. We should not build our friendships with others based upon what you expect to receive from them, but rather what you can give for them. Let's go to chapter 19, Proverbs 19. Look at here in verse number 4 through 7. The Bible says here, wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. What does that mean? They're lacking. Why? He didn't have nothing to give them, and all those guys wanted worse things in return. Friend, you need to surround yourself with people that are not just there because you keep giving them something. Money, again, I know some of us, we're no longer who we used to be, but back in the day, before I got saved, I hang out with my friends, and we would only hang out with each other because we used to do a certain thing together. Amen. They'd only hang out with me because I had some stuff that they wanted to do, and there was no other reason why we would hang out with each other. You understand? So you need to make sure that you're surrounding yourself with people that are there for your benefit, not because they're trying to take something or receive from you all the time. And as we're coming to a close, as I stated earlier, are there people that we should avoid biblically? Because they're not going to benefit your spirit as a godly friend. Yes. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22 now. Proverbs 22. Let's look together here in verse number 11. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 11. The Bible says here, he that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend. Remember, I taught you that not too long ago. Again, you need to have a good heart with good speech. Okay, go to verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Be not thou one of them that strike hands, or of them that are sureties for debts. How about that? You know that God knows that there are certain people that they're just not going to benefit your life. Men that are angry, women that are angry, people that just have a haughty spirit, man, they're always complaining. They're always murmuring. They just, every day under the sun, they're cursing, foul-mouthing. God said, you don't need to hang out with that guy. You don't need to be their friend. Here's what's going to happen, because you're going to learn their ways. And before you know it, your words are going to get you messed up and get you all in a mess, because eventually it's going to affect your life. That's why we're learning. How do I be godly in my friendships? Well, the Bible has the answers. Who you are is who you hang out with. So try to surround yourself with other friends that are kind and their speech is solid, it's pure, it's filled with love and grace and charity, but it's also going to be coupled with truth and honesty. We know that. But notice, don't associate yourself with angry individuals, because they are going to have an effect on you. How can we tell who is a good friend versus an evil friend? It's going to be easy. Are they going to encourage you to follow your God? Are they going to be a hindrance from following your God? Just like we learned earlier in Deuteronomy, look at what the Bible says here in Proverbs 27. Let's go there. Proverbs 27. Read with me now, church, in verse 5 through 6. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful, now watch this now, are the wounds of a what? Friend. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Do not associate with yourself and hang out with friends that are only going to tell you what you want to hear. Y'all with me now on that one, okay? You know who they are. You call them up, you vent, you're right. No. You need to call the person who's going to tell you straight, but with a good heart. You're going to need to surround yourself with friends that are going to correct you and check you with some scripture and love, because why? They are faithful wounds. They're not selfish wounds. They're going to cause you to hurt a little bit and, yeah, offend your flesh a little bit. But why? Because they're your friend. They're not an enemy. They're not deceiving you by giving into your flesh and lying to you by telling you everything is okay if you, you know, go back over here or do this. No, you better not do that, brother. You better stay away from that, sister, because that is not truthful. That's not faithful. Those friends are lying to you. But remember, back in Deuteronomy, it could be your brother, your physical, biological. It could be your mother. It could be your family member. If they are lying to you, they are deceiving you, because if they're not saved, they're not going to be telling you the truth, you need to avoid them. I'm not saying not hang out with them socially. I'm saying avoid them on this social level, because you ain't going to gain any profit to your soul. Amen? All right, before we come to a close, we know that our theme verse, amen, about being friendly. Iron, the Bible says here in verse 17 of Proverbs 27, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. That goes right back to what we just talked about earlier, about a faithful wound from a friend telling you the truth, even when you don't want to hear it. That's what is going to sharpen your countenance. That's what's going to benefit your godly character. And vice versa, as we're hanging out with each other, me fellowshiping with brothers and you know, all of us together, when you're just giving it to me in love and as far as the Word of God and correcting some things in my life and vice versa, what we're doing is we are going to sharpen each other's countenance, because that's what friends do. Friends speak truth into friends' lives. And lastly, how about Jesus? Did he have friends? Yes, he did. Let's go to Mark chapter number 3. And when I read this verse for the first time, I was so encouraged. And I'm glad that I read it out of my King James Bible, because the New King James, again, alters it. It's a plastic legal sword, amen. It's not the iron sword that we got in our King James Bible. Don't be deceived out there, amen. But in Mark 3, verse 21, the modern versions will alter that by putting in their family. But it's not accurate, because a couple of verses later on, you're going to see the family mentioned. And so here we have it. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is preaching the Word of God, and he's conducting himself in ministry. You guys can read all the stuff earlier as far as the preaching, and as he's beginning his ministry, and people already coming against him from the Hebrews, if you will, the Sanhedrin. And as all that is going on, look at here in Mark chapter 3, verse number 20. The multitude coming together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, They went out to lay hold on him, for they said he is beside himself. Isn't that something? Can you guys believe that Jesus Christ had friends that cared about him because they thought, now we know, ignorantly, of course, they thought he was out of his mind. Hey, Jesus, what are you doing out there, you know, causing a ruckus in the streets, bro? Come on back over here, man. Hang out, dude. You're getting into trouble. Those friends had a sincere care for Jesus because they were his friends. They thought he was, you know, obviously tripping in his mind because he was out there, obviously, you know, doing his ministry and obviously teaching doctrine, etc. But what's the point here? Nevertheless, he had friends that cared about him. You see there? It's okay to have friends that care about you. And they don't necessarily need to be saved. They can just have a sincere care for you just as a general human on the earth. I tell you right now, I have a lot of friends. Some of them are Christian, some of them are not. And some of my non-Christian friends, man, they're still a good friend to me to help me when I need to move or help me out when I'm out there at about. That's great. But they're my friends because I'm still friendly to them. You guys get the whole picture, right? Friendly friends will support each other. And here's one more good lesson, and we'll close with this from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles now to Luke chapter 11, and we'll close with this. Here's a good lesson about having a good friend through thick and thin. The Lord is going to talk about a good story between a man and his friend and about him in need of a thing, all right? And hopefully we can gain a good lesson before we close. Verse number 5, Luke 11. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? Some of y'all will be like, bro, get up on out of my house. Amen. It's too late. Or call, hey, you're calling me, dude. I'm sleeping, right? But watch this. And say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. So what do we have? Here's a guy who has a friend, but he's already sleeping. It's midnight. But his friend just came traveling, right, from up north, and now he wants to just hang out with him, but he ain't got no food. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door's now shut. How many of you guys would be that guy? Hey, bro, just leave me alone, man. It's too late. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Here's what Jesus said. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Church, what I want to end with. If you want to be a good Christian friend to those around you, it's going to be maintained by your friendliness to them, how you treat them, how you're kind to them, how you communicate to them with grace and with good words and pleasant words, with words of charity and love. And it, but again, it's all mixed with truth. They know your character. They know you're a Christian. But they know that you're an they know you're an honest Christian and someone that they want to be with and fellowship with because you still treat them friendly. You treat them kindly, is my point. And so as we talk about Christian friendship now, you start judging within yourself, well, I know all these friends I have in my life. Some of them are not Christian and some of them are. That's okay. However, as you can see now, the spirit of the non-believer most likely is not going to encourage you with God. So you need to have a balance of how much you engage with them so it doesn't affect you. Number 2, Christians, okay, born again, saved. But they may not be obedient. They may not be spiritual. They may be carnal. Man, they may be going back to drink it up and they may be doing silly things. They're not really in their Bible. They're just kind of nominal believers. Just be careful because you don't want to adapt to that lackadaisical spirit. Amen. But ultimately, in the end of the day, as we interact with all the people around us in the world, today, some of you guys are going to go to a store. Some of you guys are going to hang out with each other at the church as family members and friends. Your heart, in the end of the day, is to try your best to be as friendly as much as you can when you can with everybody around you. Because ultimately, it's about you before God trying to have a good heart. Lord, I'm going to try my best to just be kind to that guy, to that girl, to this person. Because a friend loves at all times. A good friend is not going to be someone who is there just to get what they can from you. A good friend is going to be there for you because they just care about you. That's a good friend. And so, friend, allow me to just close with that, and we'll close with prayer. We'll finish up part 2 about Christian friendship next Sunday. I hope that gave you guys a good foundation as to how to manage your own friendships today, amen? Again, I don't have dominion over you guys. Be friendly with anybody, but just take care of your heart, and don't let them hinder your obedience with God. You need to try your best to continue to be a reflection. Don't let your family members do the same thing because he warned you. Remember that. But ultimately, it's about you and how you come off to those around you and maintaining that good friendship whenever there's a mutual friend in return with that. Amen. So let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to come before your throne of grace, and I want to thank you for the word of God. I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit teaching us today from the Bible on how to be a godly friend to those around us. Lord Jesus, I'm thankful that you had friends on this earth that sincerely had care for you. Lord, I know it's okay for us to have friends, but Lord, I know that there's a balance on how we maintain our social friendship with them, if they're saved or not, if they're being a blessing to me and helping me to serve you, Lord, or not. We need to have a balance, God, as you taught us today, avoiding certain individuals because of their spirit and ain't going to do us no good. We need to surround ourselves with friendly, godly Christians who have a love for you, Lord, that's going to encourage us to do the same thing and to reciprocate that to those around us. So today, Lord, I pray that all of our church members will judge within themselves their friends that they have right now, who they know that, yes, they still love and care about, but they need to avoid because that one thing, but that they can still maintain kindness to them, even from a distance. And also, Lord, to those of us here that are struggling with how to be more friendlier in our approach with even Christians, Lord, would you work on our hearts so we can be more friendlier and kind in our speech towards others? So, Lord, thank you for today's lesson. I pray that you get everybody home safe, Lord, for where they're going to go. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. What do we say, church? Amen. All right, guys. Hope you guys have a blessed rest of your Sunday. The Lord bless you. Lord willing, we'll see you all this coming Wednesday. Amen. The Lord bless.